Well, it's so good to be here today with you, each and every one of you. Anytime I miss worship services, I always am saddened because I don't get to see your faces, and I take great encouragement from each and every one of you. And I pray that the lesson that I present this today will be one that will glorify God and will be a benefit to you. You probably have heard me say before, I grew up in the country. We had a farm, not really a big farm. We had about an acre that we used to plow and grow crops on. And my father was a sawmiller. So I began very early with horses and mules. We had cows, we had goats, we had pigs. And even my dad gave me a pony, a Shetland pony. And his name was Smokey because I got him on my birthday, which is in November, and it was cold that day. And when he blew out his air, it was steam, so I called him Smokey. But this pony was mean. Mean. But I think really what it was I was only about 8 or 9 years old, and he knew that he could buffalo me and what he wanted to do. So I would take him out, and he would bite. He would step on my foot, try to get off of it. He would kick. And then when I finally got him saddled, you know, I'd take him down. The first thing he would do is head to a mud puddle and lay down and roll in it. And I had to clean up the saddle and the bridle and all that. And he was just mean. And my dad had, we had horses and mules. We used them in sawmilling. And my dad wanted to make sure I got that farm life. So he had hitched up one of those big Tennessee mules and had me plow the field. 8 years old, trying to get that big Tennessee mule to go where I wanted to go. And I'm afraid my furrows were not very straight, but he wanted me to experience that. But when you saddled the pony or you hooked up that mule, they didn't like it. They particularly didn't like it because I was a young kid and I was trying to steer them, but they didn't like that at all. And when we went to the sawmill, I started going to sawmill when I was 5 years old, and I would shovel sawdust and I would do different chores there. You know, and my dad, when if you're not there, he was always rebuilding stuff and welding, making things. And I was up there with him. Okay, he wanted me to understand how to make stuff and build stuff. But to be honest, I didn't like it. Okay, I did it because my dad required me to, but I didn't like it. Okay, I wanted to be doing sports. I wanted to be reading, but I was not enamored with repairing cars or doing different work. And that's often the case sometimes, particularly in growing up. We are sometimes displeased with our parents, with our teachers and other people in authority, because they make us do things that we don't want to do. And that's true also with God. There are people who are displeased with God. And I want to look at some of these people today. If you would turn to Genesis, the 4th chapter. Here we see Cain is displeased with God. Beginning in Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. And Abel, he also brought the firstling of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord called unto Cain, why aren't you angry? And why is it your face has fallen? If thou does well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. We know what happens. Cain is angry. And he ultimately, because of his displeasure with God, he kills his brother. Because his brother, and that seems to be the case sometimes, we always have that perfect sibling that irritates us. He was displeased with his brother, but he's also displaying his anger at God. Okay? We don't know much more about Cain. We know what happened to him and he was cast out. But we also know that one of his sons was Enoch, who went on to walk with God. Another person who was displeased with God was Naaman. Turn to 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. Second Kings Chapter 5, verse 1. Second Kings chapter 5, verse 1. And Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and exalted man with his master, because Jehovah had given deliverance to Syria by him. He was also a mighty man, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out in companies and captured a little girl out of the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Now, my translation said little girl. I don't know how little she was. She was probably at least a teenager. That's what I think, but I don't know. Okay? And she said to her mistress, I wish my Lord were with the prophet in Samaria, for he would recover him from his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, this said the girl from the land of Israel. And he reported this to the king. And the king said, go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 talents of gold and 10 changes of clothing. Quite a lot of money. And he came in with a letter to the king of Israel, saying, and now when this letter has come to you, behold, I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, and you shall recover him of his leprosy. And you can imagine what the king thought. Who am I to do this? You put me in a bad position. I can't cure leprosy. Okay? And so the king tore his clothes. He says, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends me to recover a man from his leprosy? Consider now and see, for he is calling himself towards me. And it happened that when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king had torn his clothes, he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And Naaman came with his horses and his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman was angry. He was a mighty man. He expected the prophet to come out and see him. But Elisha sent a messenger. Okay? He was angry. Okay? He says, behold, I said within myself, he will surely come up to me and stand and call on the name of Jehovah his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He already had an idea of how Elisha was going to cure him. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? And he turned away and went in a rage. And we know what happens. One of the servants says, my father, if the prophet had told you to do a great thing, would you not have done it? How much rather then, when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and washed and dipped into Jordan 7 times. His flesh became like the flesh of a little boy, and he was clean. He was an honorable man. But many men are displeased with God. He wished to follow his own human opinion. He thought, first off, the prophet should come out and meet me because I'm a great man. And then he told him to go wash in the Jordan. Well, why the Jordan? I mean, the rivers in Damascus are cleaner. Why can't I do it there? And that's true of a lot of men. They have their own opinions of how God should deal. And they have their own idea of substitutes. Okay? And that's the problem with men. A lot of men are displeased with God because God has told them to do certain things, and they think there's a better way. I saw this all the time in the military. A new commander comes in. He says, everything the old commander did was wrong. We're going to do it my way. And when he left the command, a new commander came in and goes, all that was wrong. We're going to do it my way. And eventually it works back to the first guy the way he did. Okay? But men have different ideas of how things should be done. Now, another person who was displeased with God was Jonah. And wasn't Jonah displeased with God, what he told him to do? Well, turn to Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Well, first off, there's nowhere he can go to get away from the presence of the Lord. But why didn't he want to go? Because the Ninevites were considered an enemy, and he did not want God to save them. Okay? And so he fled. He went away. And we know what happened between Jonah and the great fish. And once he was cast out of that fish, the word of the Lord came to Jonah again in chapter 3. He said, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' journey. And when he went into the city, he cried, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So Nineveh repented. And you think that would make Jonah happy. But no, he was angry. Why? Because he didn't want them to be saved. He was angry that God would save his enemies. He was angry that of God's clemency towards them. So we know that he was displeased exceedingly because of what God was going to do. So the question is, how are we different today? How are we different? Sometimes it's hard when we see people that we may not like, we don't approve of them. But we're told that we are to love God with all our heart and all our soul, and our neighbor as ourselves. But sometimes people make it difficult. But we have to pray for their salvation. In my prayers each night, I pray for my enemies. Now, I don't really have any personal enemies, per se. I did when I was teaching school. I had a couple coaches that didn't like me. Okay? But, okay, who are my enemies? Those who seek to destroy God's word. Those who seek to destroy or marginalize Christians. And I pray for them. And I pray that somehow God will give them that epiphany to realize that there is a God who loves them, who sent his son to die for them. Because I don't wish anyone to be lost. Okay? And this is a lesson, and there are a lot of people out there that are displeased with God and walk away from God, and we have to remember them and pray for them. Well, let's look at another one, the rich young ruler. He was displeased with God because he could not keep his idol. In Matthew, the 19th chapter, Matthew 19, beginning at verse 16. And behold, one came and said to him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, Which? Jesus said, You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, I have kept all these things from my youth. What do I lack? And Jesus said to him, If you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have given to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. And when the young man heard that, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Okay? What was more important to him? God had put something in front of him that he should do. And yet he rejected that. Why? Because his possession was his idol. Covetous is idolatry. In Colossians, the third chapter, verse 5, it says, Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetous, which is idolatry. He wanted riches first and salvation second. But salvation must be first. In Matthew 6, chapter, verse 33, it says, But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He trusted in his riches first and in the Lord second. But the trust in the Lord comes first. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verse 5, it says, Trust in Jehovah with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Okay? And we were just talking, Brian just talked about this. David, before he did anything, he prayed to God. And I was thinking, he was saying that. He says, wow, I don't do that enough. I don't go to God before I make decisions. I think about how it should be done, and I do it. But we need to trust in God and don't lean on our own understanding, particularly in dealing with the Scriptures. I pray that I rightly divide the Word of God, that I teach and understand the truth. Okay? Because the truth is in so short need today, or is so needed today in our world, because there's so many lies and deceptions that are out there. Who else was displeased with God? The men who crucified Christ. They were displeased with him. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, I'm not going to read that chapter, but we see him before Pilate. And Pilate was just the governor of Judea. He was a representative of Rome. And he really had to deal with the politics of both Rome and with the Sanhedrin and the priest. Okay? And in talking with Jesus, he saw that he was of no threat to Rome, and he was innocent. He knew that the priest, because of envy and other reasons, wanted to get rid of Jesus. And he said, I find no fault in this man. Okay? And he gave them a choice. He said, tradition was that I release somebody from prison. Who would you like me to release? And they asked for Barabbas. And Barabbas was a murderer. What should I do with him? Crucify. Crucify. This is all politics. They did not like Jesus. Why? Because he threatened them. He threatened their position and their power. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, if you'd like to look at that, we know that there are people today who crucify Christ afresh. And how do they do that? Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, and who have fallen away, it is possible, let's say, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify the Son of God afresh to themselves and put him to an open shame. So we have to be careful in our life. We don't want to crucify Christ again. But we know that many groups are displeased with God. Atheists are displeased with God. Why? Okay? They don't want to submit to God. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the atheists work to remove any kind of form of religion from government, schools, and communities. They don't want to acknowledge God. Modernists are displeased with the Scriptures today because they don't believe in the inspirations. And a lot of times they say, things have changed. But things haven't changed. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, these are verses that many of us have memorized. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfected, thoroughly furnished every good work. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that means that the Word of God that we have is inspired. It's God-breathed. Okay? And the Word of God is what we should hold on to, not men. Now, we know the Roman Catholic was displeased with the completeness of the Bible. Okay? And what they've done is they've changed the Scriptures to suit their own need. In Revelation chapter 22, beginning at verse 18. And also in Jude, it mentions there that ungodly men who deny the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But in Revelation 22, verse 18, if I testify unto every man that hears the word of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. The Catholics want the voice of the church to be as authoritative as the Bible. Okay? They want them to be the source of authority. Now, we also know that the Catholic Church, okay, they were so displeased that they changed the order and structure of the church. They went from a plurality of elders in a church to one bishop per one local church. And this gave rise to additional duties, additional offices. In 606 AD, the first pope was established, Boniface III, and that continues today. We know that Protestants are displeased with biblical teachings on unity, one body, one faith, and one baptism. And some denominations vote on people for membership. Okay? And that was happening with me in the Baptist church. When I was baptized at 12 years old, they voted whether or not to let me in the Baptist church. And when I got that, I got this nice little certificate that says I was a member of the church. And so when I moved to Arizona, I was supposed to present my certificate to the local Baptist church, and I lost it, so they accepted me anyway. But the one thing that I remember is the Baptist church never talked about bishops or elders. It was just the senior members of the board, and they're the ones who voted on it. But in Acts 2:47, it states that God adds to the church. And Acts 2:47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Now, during the age of the apostles, when there were no denominations, baptism of a convert implied that the convert was added to the church. But we don't really know. We don't know today. Because only God knows their heart. He adds them to the church. And it's not us that vote him in. Okay? We know that denominations also were displeased with scriptures that deal like with women preachers. And so they changed that. They allow women preachers. But the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 14 definitely say that the women should keep silent. Okay? And there's a place for them. And this is not to say that women are second-class citizens. Okay? But each of us has a role in serving God. And once again, you hear people today that says, things are different today. We're more modern. We have all this technology. Well, why is it different? And more importantly, by what authority was it made differently? God's word does not change. In Matthew 24:35, it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Words shall not pass away. He also says, for I am the Lord, I change not. That's good. We wouldn't want to serve a God who keeps changing his mind. He does not change. Okay? And his word is there. We also know that denominations were displeased with the act of baptism. So they instituted things like infant baptism. They also instituted things like sprinkling. Okay? But the point is that there is a structure of how people become Christians. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And Acts 2:38, just after the one we read, it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes we have young children that want to be baptized, and we have to tell them to wait. You have to wait till you understand. Okay? There's no such thing as infant baptism. It's not in the Word of God. And so we have to make sure that we are working hard to make sure that we understand the truth. Some denominations take up offerings every time that they meet. Some have a different practice. In the Baptist church that I remember, they only did it once a month. And when I asked some of the seniors, they just said, well, we think it makes it more special. Well, that's not what the scripture says. We are told to do the Lord's Supper on the first day of each week to remember God. And it is special because here we take the time as a memorial to remember God. But we do it according to the scriptures, not according to what people think are. It makes it more special. Martin Luther was a key figure in the Protestant Reformation. and many of his teachings form the basis of for Lutheranism. But he was displeased with Romans 5:1. You like to turn and look at that? This is an important one. In 5:1 he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." But Martin Luther was so displeased with this that he put in the word "only," what makes the passage read, "justified by faith only." And we're told in Deuteronomy that you shall not add to the Lord's word, should not diminish from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Proverbs 35 says, "The word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." So we just can't put in another word here. We have to go back and look at what God has said. And I really appreciate, particularly since I've been here, that we're going back and looking at the Hebrew and the Old Greek, because it adds so much to what we're trying to understand. But the wishes of Luther did not change the Word of God. His change contradicted James 2:24, which says, "Ye shall see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." But the Word of God displeased people. Okay, and some people will say that desire to be guided by what the Bible does not say. And there are a lot of people that do that. Particularly in today, there are things, there are sins that people say, "Well, it's not in the Scripture, so I can do it." Well, that's not, no. Because God gives us the concept of what should be righteous in the eyes of God. God knew that people would be displeased with his commandments. And people would want to change them. The Hebrew, God's chosen people, were a classic example. As we talked about today, as they moved after the being put in Babylon and Assyria, we know that when they came back, they changed from following God's word to more of a tradition in the laws that the elders provided them. Okay? And so they basically broke away from what God wanted them to do that. And we know that God has told us not to change his word. And this is important because we are going to encounter people in the world today who are willing to sit down and discuss the Bible. And we need to discuss these questions. When they say, "But I thought," well, you may have your opinions, but what's more important? The opinion of God. Well, why can't we substitute? Well, Coke and pizza won't do for the Lord's Supper. And there have been denominations that have done that. They've substituted things for the Lord's Supper. The timing, we've already talked about. Okay, when they take that. We have to rely on the Bible, not on the work of men. We can't rely on writers like Hal Lindsey. Some of you may not know who Hal Lindsey is. But he was a writer that talked about the end of the world and the things to come and all kinds of stuff. We can't rely on writers like that. We have to go to the Word. We know there are different versions that are out there. Some that are paraphrased. We can't rely on paraphrase because what you're doing is relying on someone else's interpretation. We know about musical instruments. And people will tell you today, things are different. I feel more enlightened when I hear a guitar or a piano. But that's not authorized in Scripture. The only thing God authorized was for us to singing and making melody in our heart. And that's the musical instrument that we should deal with. Some people still wanted idols. This is what atheists do. They put their faith in other things. Some people change the requirements for heaven. I'm a good person. Isn't that enough? No. Not if you're not right with God. And then once saved, always saved is another thing that people want to say. Once I'm saved, I'm always saved. And then I can go out and do what I want. And people will say, "Why do I have to give up things? Why do I have to give up the pursuit of riches? Why do I have to give up alcohol and these different forms of entertainment?" It's because God wants you to be righteous and holy. God can work through us whether we accept or reject his will. The question is, what will you do with his will? Okay? Are we displeased with God, or do we seek to please God? And that's my question today. What are you doing to please God? If you don't know, you need to think about this. We please God by prayer, by study and meditation, by making sure that things that are wrong are removed from our life, that we encourage others, and we look for opportunities to speak to people about the Lord. Okay? And sometimes a word of encouragement can go a long way. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Jesus also said he sought to please God the Father. In John 8, 29, he said, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always the things that please him. Jesus is the anointed one of God. He's God's chosen king. He's the authority that we must submit to and desire to please. Okay? We know that God has given Jesus all authority in heaven and earth. All authority has been given to Christ. And whatever we do in word or deed, we are to do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to the Father through him. It means that we must have God's authority, or we shouldn't do anything without the authority of Christ. So how do we know what's pleasing to Jesus? Jesus said to Pilate in John 18, 37, he says, you say rightly that I am the king, for this cause I was born. And for this cause I've come into the world, that you should bear the witness of for the truth. Everyone who's of the truth hears my voice. Truth is so important. Those who are sheep of Jesus Christ only listen to the shepherd and the king. They will not listen to others who are trying to take them away from the voice of the shepherd. Paul also wrote in Colossians, the first chapter, if you'd like to turn there. Colossians chapter 1, beginning of verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So in the end, we have to put our faith in our Redeemer, our Savior, our King. And Jesus taught us to pray, thy will be done in earth as in heaven. So we have to submit to that authority. Now, the question is, are you pleasing to our Savior and to God today? You need to think about how in your life that you can be pleasing to God. Now, when Jesus gave an invitation, he used two simple words, but they had such a great impact. And what did he say? Follow me. And when you think about it, you look at the apostles. He drew them from all walks of life. He drew the fisherman. He drew the tax collector. He drew the zealot. He drew other people. Follow me. He continues to give that invitation today. I think we need to be reminded of that on a daily basis. Follow me. He continues to call us. Follow him. So we have an opportunity today. In Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and him that knocks it shall be opened. So no matter what your status is, you need each day to seek to please God, okay, and to do the things that God commands, because that is our hope of eternal life. And to glorify God in all the things that we do. Think on these things as we stand aside.